Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, former Metro Vice Cop Assemblyman Tom Roberts is here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan. Making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Assemblyman Tom Roberts of District 13. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. So the first thing I wanted to ask you about, I didn't put it on a list of topics here, but I wanted to ask you about these innovation zones. What's your thoughts on this? Because not only is it potentially going to affect Story County, take a chunk of their land away, but it could actually happen in Clark County too.
Well, yeah, the way the statute is supposed to be written is it lays out some conditions. You know, you have to have a certain amount of land, you'd be able to invest a certain amount of money into the state. And you're correct. It's kind of limited. You could have them in Clark County, but I think it's specific to Northern Nevada. Now, look, in theory, I think it's worth exploring. Anything that helps diversify the economy is worth looking at. Now, there's some things with water rights, some split from making its own political subdivision, which is a little different than what we're accustomed to. So we look forward to the hearings and see what it's all about.
Because we're all in favor of innovation and we're all in favor of diversification and whatever will help, you know, Nevada's economy. But it just seems like somebody is really biting off a lot. If not only are you going to produce a smart city, but you're also going to have all of the things that go into state and local government. I mean, it just seems like that's an awful lot for one company to put together.
It's definitely different. When we get briefings, they tout Disney World as an example, as in Florida, where Disney World bought up, you know, a bunch of land and they produced this, you know, this entertainment park, but it's also got hotels and a variety of other things. I don't know that it necessarily has its own system of government, but that's what they tout. That's something that's similar.
Right. The difference was, though, that Disney World had Disneyland as something they'd already built, and they saw the problems with it, which was a bunch of cheap motels and hotels popped up around the park, And they wanted to avoid that in Florida. And they do have their own government, per se, in those two counties. They carved out a portion for Disney World. The other side of this that I see in what we're looking at here in Northern Nevada is that at this point, Blockchains has built their own corporate headquarters, which is a very nice building, not extraordinary, but very nice. That's all they've done. Wouldn't it be nice if they built one smart building to say, okay, this is the example of what we plan to do as against just talking about it?
Well, it sounds like it was certainly would help sell the project, moving forward. If you demonstrated, kind of what you're looking to do, I think that's a good idea.
Let's talk about criminal justice reform. Okay. Obviously, another big topic. It was one in the special session, and now Steve Yeager is moving ahead with more. What positives or negatives are you seeing with the potential for more in the criminal justice reform area?
Well, I'd say some of the positives is, I had a bill to diversify the post commission. It's been my experience when I worked at Metro that when we brought in citizens and involved them in the policing process, that we had better outcomes. The old saying is you have to have buy-in or weigh in to have buy-in, I think is important. So I had a bill that added a mental health professional to the post commission, the police officers and standard commission. Sorry, I didn't identify it earlier. Speaker Frierson had a bill that added two civilians, and then one is a mental health professional, or at least should be. So I dropped my bill, signed on to his bill. I think it's a great premise for that. There's some bills on quotas, on police quotas, which I supported. There's some law enforcement leaders that don't necessarily have support it because they have concerns about being able to supervise their employees.
Hang on, just one sec. So when you talk about quotas, the quotas for an officer to get a certain amount of cases in whatever areas.
Correct, yeah. So there is one bill sponsored by Assemblywoman Nguyen that would eliminate arrest and ticket citation quotas for officers and prohibit using those in performance reports. What I saw in law enforcement when supervisors did use quotas, the quality of the arrest sometimes diminished because they were just trying to get a number. And I think it weakened some of the officer discretion. I think there's some middle ground between law enforcement management and some of the advocates of the bill. Hopefully we can make some changes to it and get that through. I know the Attorney General, that was one of the things on your list, has a bill to allow patterns and practice investigations. The first iteration went a little too far. I think it actually had dual responsibility for use of force investigations, which I really don't believe that is a great idea, but the pattern and practice investigations, they put some things in there to allow a period of time to work collaboratively to solve some of the issues before you could invoke a civil action. I think that's reasonable to ask.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
Explain to the public who may not understand this. Why exactly is the Attorney General concerned about this? What are the problems that he has seen that he wants to resolve because of this?
Well, I think what you saw is under the previous administration, the Trump administration, Attorney General Jeff Sessions had actually said the federal government was not going to do any more patterns and practice investigations, which traditionally was what the Justice Department did, and actually said states should do those. And so several states since that occurred have passed legislation to allow states to do this. So I believe that's where the Attorney General is coming from, because there was a gap in the federal government. Now, who knows if the Biden administration is gonna reverse that decision. I don't know that it's necessarily prevalent or needed in Nevada. We went at Metro when I was there. We went through a process called collaborative reform, which held civil action or a civil suit over your head, basically to collaboratively reform, and it worked very well for the Metropolitan Police Department, which is why I like the AG's response. It gives you 30 to 60 days to remedy whatever the complaint is before they institute civil action. It seems that several law enforcement leaders in the state are on board with it. I have not seen the bill myself, but I did review the hearings and watching this as it moves forward.
Yes, it seems to be a bipartisan effort here. Would I be right in saying that?
Certainly, yeah, it is. There's things on both sides that I believe that we're working together.
I think one of the important things for the whole country is to point out as often as possible where things are being done in a bipartisan fashion, because so much of what we hear is partisan that I think people will be surprised to know how much cooperation there truly is.
Yeah, well, I think it's also important for people to know that that criminal justice reform isn't about just the police. The police do what we tell them to do, the laws and the civil cases that are around there. I think a lot of it is systematic of the entire criminal justice system. The police officers are the people that touch you the most in that system, and I think they get the brunt of the criticism, and sometimes it's wrongfully so. So I think that's why both sides can get on board with this. You know, I'm not for anything that reduces the authority or puts police officers at risk. I'll never support that. And so I think there's other things that we can do that we can move the ball forward and make the public happy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Assemblyman Tom Roberts after this timeout.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino in March. Win your share of the $75,000 Mad Money giveaways now through March 31st. Plus 5x points every Friday.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Penny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino in March. Win your share of the $75,000 Mad Money giveaways now through March 31st. Plus 5x points every Friday.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblyman Tom Roberts of District 13. Talk to us about your bill, AB 182. Which is about advancing prostitution business on private property. What is this about and who does it affect?
Well, so it's actually Assemblywoman Jill Toll's bill from Reno. I signed on as a primary sponsor. She had passed legislation last time. It's a passion of hers. And with my experience, I ran the vice detail. It was underneath my purview for the last 3 years that I worked at Metro. And what it does is, you know, typically we have gone against illegal prostitution and human trafficking from the offender side of it, you know, with the sex workers themselves. And quite often there's not enough legislation to go after the people that profit from it. There's good laws on the books for pandering and, you know, and for pimps and folks like that. But some of the other people that profit from it, property owners, small hotels, things like that, that allow this to go on under their noses, as long as they make money, they've kind of turned the other way. And that's the purpose of this bill.
Would this affect strip clubs?
No, I don't believe so, because strip clubs aren't necessarily engaged in prostitution. It could if they did. If a strip club did engage in prostitution activity or sex trafficking activity and the police were notified or had those investigations and they notified the company or whatever, the business, and they didn't do anything to remedy it, yeah, I mean, it could.
If somebody were to lease a building to an organization that ended up being involved in prostitution, would they be liable under this as well?
No, I don't believe so, because one of the tenets of the law is that the police notify the business owner and or property owner of the activity, and they have an opportunity to correct it.
All right, so you were involved in running Vice at Metro. So let me ask you, in a state where we have legalized prostitution in every county for the most part, except for Washoe and Clark, prostitution is a huge industry in Clark County, especially on the Strip. In fact, if you go to McCarran Airport, soon to be Harry Reid Airport, on a Friday afternoon, and any time around huge conventions, I mean, it's pretty obvious who's coming into town. At one point, Dick Gamek, who was the Washoe County District Attorney, and Oscar Goodman, when he was mayor, said that under the right circumstances, they believed that prostitution should be legalized. Isn't it time we looked at this realistically and went from a situation where we know that there are literally, at certain points, hundreds of prostitutes operating illegally in Clark County, that we go to a form of legalization to protect both the women and the customers?
Well, I don't know that legalization does protect the workers completely. It's hard to say what it would look like in an urban area. We thought that this would occur with marijuana, for instance, right? Because there was a black market for so long, we're having a very difficult time of eliminating the black market since we've legalized marijuana. I think you would have the same issue with prostitution in an urban environment. I think what's important for folks to realize is that it's not necessarily the sex workers that have the huge issue, the voluntary, ones. There's a lot of women that are young and naive that are basically lured into that and into that profession and can't get out. And so at Metro, that's who we tried to really work and target on, is were the folks that were young, got into this, were being forced to stay into it, and also the folks that were profiting from it, the pimps that were profiting from women and sex workers. That was where our focus was, and trying to rescue those young 14 to 18 and 21 year olds that proliferate that environment.
So you use marijuana as the example, and you're 100% correct. Once you start putting all the taxes and the cost of putting up beautiful buildings, the cost of marijuana has risen significantly over the cost of the black market, which is why the black market still thrives in Nevada. But you have taken a big chunk of business, whether you call it additional business or business that's been removed from the black market, you're at least moving in the right direction.
Correct.
As somebody made the comment to me on the program a couple of years ago, you can buy whiskey that's been made in a still in somebody's backyard, or you can go to your neighborhood liquor store and buy a bottle of liquor. Which one are you going to do? At a certain point, people are making their decisions based upon, legal or illegal. And doesn't it come down to that with prostitution as well? That, you may not eliminate the black market 100%. In fact, it's probably impossible to do that. But that you would make things safer for both the women involved and the customers. From a health point of view, from a physical violence point of view, there's lots of ways that there could be benefits.
Yeah, you could be right, but you look at Pahrump, for example, as a short drive from Las Vegas, and I don't know that people are clamoring to go to legal brothels. I think there is a misnomer out there that people believe, even in Las Vegas and Reno, that it's legal. It's a big nut to crack. I'm open to talking about anything. If those folks, if we can keep people safer, maybe that's an option.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more with Assemblyman Tom Roberts after this timeout.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblyman Tom Roberts of District 13 in Las Vegas. A couple of things coming up in this session: decriminalizing minor traffic offenses. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's been done in a lot of states around the U.S. I think you could decriminalize some of them. I don't know that all of them. I think the bill that is out there does a little of that. There was an iteration of it last session, which I voted for. I have not seen all the language in this one. I think really the premise that this bill tries to get to is so that you don't have people that have warrants that are getting arrested for minor traffic offenses and being held in jail to where, like, you know, if you have a registration offense or something like that, and for the average working person, they can't get back on their feet because they've got this thing looming over their head. I think that's what it tries to get at. In some of those states that have switched, there has been a loss of revenue, you know, to some municipalities. Some people feel that people don't pay as close attention to violating the law. You know, I think the reviews are mixed, and the verdict's not out on me yet. I really need to see this bill and see, you know, all the sides. But it's definitely, I think there's some middle ground that we can get to.
Ghost guns. Explain what a ghost gun is and your thoughts on this legislation.
So ghost guns are where you have the ability to either through 3D printing, or you can buy a lower frame without a serial number and pretty much buy all the parts and assemble a gun. There are people in the antique firearms business and things like that where you can build those. I can tell you, before I left Metro, I spent a significant amount of time and actually had a bill on NIBIN, which is a National Interballistic Intelligence Network or something. I can't remember the acronym, but basically what it is every firearm has a fingerprint, and you know, every gun that we recovered at Metro, we would fire them, or every shell casing, and you match guns to crime and so on and so forth. A serial number is a significant issue for that, right? You need to trace the gun, find out where it was purchased. This kind of circumvents some of that. I think it's a big issue for law enforcement. On the other hand, firearms or Second Amendment folks feel that it's an infringement on working on firearms and building firearms. I think that there's already legislation on the books that prohibits criminals from having a firearm without a serial number. I don't necessarily believe that we need additional legislation to go after the parts. I think we have sufficient laws on the books.
It was interesting. I was at Scheels, the large sporting goods store in Sparks recently. It's the world's largest sporting goods store, by the way. That's their slogan. And without being asked, the cashier said to me, I hope you're not here for ammo. And I said, no, actually, I'm not. He said, good, because it doesn't matter whether we have ammo in or not. We're always sold out. And even if we get fully stocked at 9 o'clock in the morning, it's gone by the end of the day. What are your thoughts on that, and what the cause is of why people are buying up ammunition so rapidly at this point?
Well, you saw this last year. We had record gun sales. Basically, the ATF produces a report on how many background checks were performed by guns, and it set an all-time record high. And I'd say the same for ammo. And I think a lot of it is the narrative that is out there. You have a new administration, and people are buying them while they can in anticipation that there's going to be some change to the laws and going to prohibit some purchase of firearms or certain types of firearms and or ammunition, so people are stocking up. I think some of the civil discourse that occurred last summer may have drove some of it, but it's basically, I think, people's fear that there's going to be some change in the gun laws, and they're stocking up.
Does that keep you up at night?
Well, you know, there is some comfort that the people are buying firearms, passing a background check. It's kind of unusual that we're going through so much ammunition. That could be troublesome. But if it's law-abiding citizens that are buying it, we should trust them to act accordingly.
And that's where we have to leave it. Tom Roberts, always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this.
All right, thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.